So, as I said earlier, we're on the penultimate week of James, and Steve is wrapping it all up beautifully next week, so he tells me. So today, as I mentioned earlier, we heard in our reading, we're looking at submitting to God. I'll be the first to admit I'm not very good at this, so this is as much for me as it is for anybody else. And I hope that what I can do is perhaps give some helpful tips on how we can submit to God, and also what it looks like. And it isn't chilies and chocolate. But I think it's quite interesting that James doesn't lead with this. This isn't his first paragraph about submitting to God. After all, when we read, it doesn't lead with this instruction when we read. I think the reason that he does that is that actually it's quite difficult. Although amusingly, if he'd led with it, it would make all his other points probably easier, because that's kind of what he does. He sums up and says, if you submit to God, everything's easy. So why does James leave it till the end? And I think actually it's because it's so tricky and difficult to do. It involves such a risk. As we saw with our little task, the only thing that anybody had seen was the chilies, the ginger, the pickled onions, garlic, and Coleman's English mustard. So I think everybody's thought was that's what was going to be on the spoon. And I love English mustard, but I'm not going to eat a spoonful of it. So I think in our minds sometimes, when we're told we've got to submit to God, our mind leaps to the scary and the dangerous. You know, we're being asked metaphorically to eat raw ginger or chilies. Perhaps the idea that we'll be called to something that we'd rather not do makes us reluctant to submit, just in case we have to travel to North Korea or Mongolia or somewhere like that. And don't get me wrong, some people are called to that. I mean, Jack wanted to eat the pickled onions. So, you know, there are people out there that is their calling in life. And thank the Lord that there are. But I don't think that in most cases he's going to get us to do that if it's something that we really couldn't or wouldn't be able to do. So, I'm being heckled by a mobile phone. So I have to be very grateful for the people that did come up and do that task. I was slightly concerned as I was sat here and everybody came in and saw the chilies and pickles and things and going, "Ooh, I'm not going to do that." That nobody was going to do it, and I was going to have to sort of change my response to it, that somehow I got to eat the chocolates because nobody else was willing to submit to me or something. And actually, I know it's a very simplistic message that I would in the demonstration, because it's not as simple as, you know, you submit to God and you'll get everything that's all wonderful and lovely. Because actually, and I don't want to get pulled up on the heresy of the prosperity gospel, I don't mean that if you submit to God, you'll suddenly get 10% interest on your savings, be able to buy a Lamborghini and live in a really big house. It may mean that we do get great things in this world, but that's not the point. The point is that it's the promise that we get from submitting to God. James demonstrates this in the first bit of the chapter. He asks what is causing all the strife, and explains that the situation is caused because people don't rely on God. It turns out that the good things in life come from God, and therefore our willingness to submit to him means that he will provide for us. We see that message in the Gospels, in Matthew 6, 26 to 27, where he says, if I confused you. No, I think you've got to go on a bit. Yeah, there's the nice house. Yeah. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So James is reiterating, as he does throughout most of his book, that actually he's sort of condensing Jesus' message for us and making it very straightforward, I think. You know, we may, as I said, get wealth and position in society. When Esther submitted to the will of God, she became the Queen of Persia. I mean, that's a pretty good job, really. But by doing that, she was there to protect her people. Or, if we look at Mary at the beginning of the New Testament, we may get ostracized in sadness. You know, when Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant, may your word be to me be fulfilled," she was ostracized. Joseph almost left her. She witnessed her son being crucified. Things that must have been incredibly painful for her. But her reward was that her son rose from the dead and fulfilled the scriptures. You know, those moments leading up to that were not easy. So how do we submit to God? As I said at the beginning, and if I'm honest, it's pretty difficult, and I'm probably the last person that does it very easily either. And the biggest factor is trust. None of you, and Steve, you said it, Keith, I think, said it as well, I don't trust you, when I was asking you to submit to me and eat what was ever on the spoon. Who's the fool now, Keith? is to trust. If we don't trust God, we're not going to submit to him because we're not going to be confident that he's going to look after us. We're going to think he's going to do horrible things to us. In the Bible it says, and I was looking for a quote, and there were just so many of them about trusting in God. And I picked on this one. "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." If we don't trust God, then we're not going to submit. It is a lot easier to submit to someone if you trust them or think you're going to give them pickled onions, as my son did. The fact I deliberately put doubt into people's minds, the only thing that people could see was the nasty stuff, made it very difficult to trust what was going to happen. If the box of chocolates had been on there, I think everybody would have volunteered. If we truly trust God, submitting to God is so much easier. If we don't wholly trust him, then submission is often half-hearted or caveated. "Yes, God, I'll do what you say, but..." Something I know I definitely need to work on. The second factor, and John mentioned this earlier, is humility. To submit to God, we have to be humble. We have to admit that we can't do things on our own and that we need God in all that we do. As long as we're determined to, as my little sister said when she was a baby, was "do it my own self," we're not going to be able to lean into God and submit to him and not get the reward that he wants to give us. We have to be willing to admit our own failures and weakness. It involves a bravery and a vulnerability that is often very, very hard to achieve. So which leads me on to the last point of how, and why I titled today's sermon "Be Brave," is we have to be brave. We don't know what is under the bowl and what is on the spoon. We don't know what the future holds. I don't think it's a coincidence that James follows up this bit of the chapter with about boasting about tomorrow. As we all sit here today, and I'm hoping to be able to finish off our patio tomorrow. But I woke up yesterday morning and my shoulder is not in a good way. I've slept awkwardly and it's hurting. And I've got to lift bricks and stones and things. So me boasting about, Monday and Tuesday, I'm definitely going to finish the patio, is looking a little bit daft at the moment. But I am praying that my shoulder will recover and I'll be able to do it. Because I'd like to use the patio this summer. But it's a warning to us. You know, if we boast about how successful we're going to be without relying on God, perhaps it won't happen. Submitting to God, I think for all of us, seems like quite a risk. But I think what James is trying to reassure us with is that actually it's not. It's the only sensible choice. If we submit to God, we won't fight or quarrel amongst ourselves. If we submit to God, our prayers will be answered. They may not be answered in the way that we want them to be, but they will be answered. Submitting to God as well, and I think this is a very important point, is it's not a one-time thing. It's a daily struggle, much like with sin and temptation. And it requires us to be brave day after day, every morning. As his mercies are new every day, our submission needs to be new every day. But it does, if we can do it, it does make the worldly struggles easier. the devil will flee from us. That probably makes temptation a lot easier to deal with. So what does submitting to God look like in our everyday lives? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 13:1 that it's about submitting to the authorities, so obeying the law of the land. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. I think there is a bit of a caveat to this, because if the laws of the land go against the law of God, then we have a responsibility to stand up against that and be brave in that sense. We can't just go, oh, well, the law is, and I've just got to submit to it because that's what I'm told to do. I think there's more to it than that. Our relationships will be better because by submitting to God, we will be submitting to each other. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, he says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. It's interesting that Peter is also quoting the Old Testament verse the same as James does. I think there's something in it. By submitting to God, we also submit to each other. We put others before ourselves and therefore prevent enmity. When we submit to God, we're putting him first in all the things we do in our lives, in our friendships, in our families, in our work, in our free time. He is in all of that. And because of that, what we do is for God's glory, and therefore we are serving him and we will get the reward. But we don't do it for the reward. That is, we're doing it because we love and trust God and are submitting to his will. Much like last week when John spoke about sin, we can sometimes feel dejected if we fail. And I think submitting to God is similar to that. It can be very easy, oh, well, I didn't do it yesterday and I'm just never going to be able to do it. So, oh, well. It's quite intimidating. And the language James uses, again, he's quite good for his sort of adulterous relationships, sort of as allegories, that it can sound a little bit scary. But I think what he's trying to do is, rather than scare us into it, I think he's trying to actually reassure us that it is the right decision to make. You know, by saying, look how amazing this relationship could be if only you did it, is what he's getting at, not how terrible you are for not achieving it. And God highlights, James highlights God's grace and mercy. He highlights that actually we always have the opportunity for forgiveness and to submit again. We can keep coming back and we can keep reaffirming that submission in the same way that we can keep coming back and asking for forgiveness. There will be consequences if we don't, you know, but we do have that opportunity. Because he gives us more grace. His grace and mercy knows no bounds. And I think that is something that we need to hold on to in this. Because as much as it all sounds rather doom and gloom and scary, there is a piece of chocolate at the end of it all. And God himself knows that we aren't good at this stuff. But he still calls us and he still loves us unconditionally. So, as we wrap up, this is my prayer for me and all of us. God, I submit myself every day to your will. I give you everything. I give you my soul, my selfishness, and my temptations. Please help me resist everything that is evil and cling to what is good. Forgive me for the times I have done things in my own strength and not submitted to your will. Give me the courage and bravery to trust you. Help me be brave in all I do for your glory and kingdom. Amen.